Robinhood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
My name is Rhiannon Leo Jameson, and I'm calling from over at the Northeast Millerton Library.
Margaret Hask, I'm calling from the Cornwall, Connecticut Library.
And we're talking about the history of our libraries today.
Why don't you start, Rhiannon? Tell us about your library.
Sure. Well, we're about to celebrate our 100th anniversary, so we're a little excited.
Mm-hmm.
That's next year, so keep a lookout. But we're in, I don't know if this works the same in Connecticut as New York, but we're association library, which means that we were not created by our local municipality. We were created by a group of citizens that just thought, hey, this town needs to have a library.
Right.
So for us, it was the PTA, our local PTA, and several other citizens came together back in 1927, 26, and created our library.
And was it in the building that it's in now?
No. We've been all over the place. We were originally in what is now the movie house's screening room.
So okay.
Just down the street from where we are now, back when it was, I think, a Grange. And then we were on the second floor of a department store that burned down. So I always ask if, you know, we talked to the previous owners of the movie house, but if anyone has any pictures between 1927 and 1955 of the library, come talk to me because we have nothing.
It would be great to have some pictures.
It would be because we actually have several going forward from the fire, but nothing previous to that because, well, we lost everything in the fire.
Oh, too bad. Wow.
Yeah. We found a clipping from our local newspaper that said the Library Emergency Fund is beginning to fundraise. And then the next paper, it said, raise $1,288. It's a lot of money now, but it was a lot more money back in 1955.
Absolutely. Wow.
Yeah. And then if anyone's really familiar with Millerton, there's a little apartment, triangle-shaped apartment on John Street. And we were in there for a time. And then we hopped over to what was a fire department and back over on Duchess Ave. And we were there for a very long time. We have a bunch of pictures from that. And then we ultimately bought the building we were in the early 70s and have been here ever since.
It's a charming building. It's the nicest building. Yeah.
Yeah. We're very fortunate that we hadn't had to move again.
Yeah.
It seems like every 10 to 20 years we were hopping around Millerton.
Mm.
And then,
well, the Cornwall
what
Library
about
started in 1869. So I just did the math. It's 157 years ago.
Is that right?
Yeah, sounds right. And it was organized in the study of the Reverend E.C. Sanford on mm-hmm. October 2nd. Careful records were taken. And I believe there were 14 books in the original collection. And I believe we still have those 14 books in the library. If I thought about it, I would have checked to make sure, but I believe we still have those books. And there was a charge. There was a cost. It was a membership of $3 and an annual dues of $1. And the librarian's salary from 1875 to 1909 had been $25 annually, and then it increased to $75, and then a big $100 annually, which is not a whole lot. It was a completely private library with a fee, and then it moved to the office of Frederick Kellogg, and it was enlarged, and it stood on the town green, so it was a little bit more of a sort of public face. And then in 1908, members voted to approve this resolution. The Cornwall Library Association, herewith records its grateful appreciation of the provision made by John E. Calhoun for housing in the Cornwall Library and directs, So he built a building for the library, and we were in part of that for a long while. And then in 2001, we built the building that we're in now. So the building, the space in the stone building was tiny. A lot of local people will remember that. It was the size of a living room, maybe, for the entire library. And now we're in a 6,000-square-foot building
was
built as a library, and it feels very generous and spacious. It's very, very nice. One other thing I wanted to mention, looking at the early notes on the library, that it said the executive committee and the librarian agreed that no book shall be admitted into the library of an immoral tendency or teaching any religious doctrine contrary to Christian principles. So this, I mean, that's really interesting going back, because nothing could be, well, I don't know that we have immoral tendencies in a lot of our books, but we don't, you know, restrict ourselves to Christian principles. So I think that's interesting that we've really moved away from some very, very conservative attitudes towards, you know, what we are today, which is really free and open and, you know, supportive of the community.
And it probably is a very more accurate reflection of moving from a private library where it's, you know, membership into a public library where you're for everyone.
Right. I'm looking to see in the minutes now when we went. Okay, so we went free in 1945 when the association decided that books may be drawn free from this library by all residents of the town of Cornwall and by all members of this association. And they posted notices that the library is now a free library. So that's kind of good news.
That's exciting.
Yeah, yeah, big changes, you know, from very conservative to, you know, where we are today. I mean, we're still very careful about what we have in our collection, but we're certainly expansive in an open collection.
I'm looking forward, because we're fortunate enough that we still have the original minute book from when we were first chartered back in 1927, and I'm really looking forward to reading it more now than I was before, because of all this like fantastic information you have about the founding of your library.
Yeah, it's interesting, and this is all on our website. There's a lot more on than just this, but it's a really thorough history of the Cornwall Library.
And it's nice that you were able to preserve it. I mean, for us, when we put together the history of our locations, it was a concerted effort. We had a volunteer come and search for all this information through various other books, Sarah Ellen Rinsberg. And, you know, it took at least 6 months of going back and reading all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And
right,
and we still don't have a... Okay.
Probably going through newspapers and all kinds of minutes of meetings, all sorts of things.
And, you know, we still have a... We don't have a fairly accurate picture. But, you know, now we know who was on our board and things of that nature.
Yeah. Well, we're glad to be here, and we're glad we're a free library. And, and you know, as I think we've discussed before on this program, that the, you know, the purpose of the library is really expanding from being a collection of books, which is certainly a very, very worthy cause, to being more of a community center. And we try to offer a lot of programs and, you know, educational experiences that are of interest to the people of Cornwall.
Okay. This is such a great topic for us to be discussing during National Library Week as well, which is, you know, a fun and lucky surprise for us.
Yeah, it's very nice.
As you were speaking, I was looking over my notes, and I found that cute little thing. Well, it was a little dangerous. One of our board members at the time, our board president, ran back into a burning building to go save a book.
Oh, my goodness. Do you know what the book was?
We do. It was June Davis, who may recognize her name because she was married to Walter Davis, who is, I believe, a lawyer in our community for quite some time. And the book was The History of Dutchess County.
Oh.
And I know I don't know if we still have that particular copy, but we do have a copy of the book if anyone is curious.
Oh, that's interesting. I wonder, so she went in just to save that particular book.
Just to save that book. And then apparently what another trustee noted as the crowd gathered to watch the flames, well, at least this gets us down off the second floor.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
I was like, that's the spirit.
Yeah, gosh. And so now we have, you know, we started with 14 books, and now we have 30,000 volumes in the library, you know, physical items. And then we have, of course, tens of thousands of books and magazines and videos, all kinds of things in e-formats. So the collection has grown, you know, so, I mean, just astronomically since the library first established. I imagine you had the same kind of experience at the Millerton Library.
Yes, we're about the same as you currently. But I believe it says it on our website, but I don't have the exact number here. I believe it's around $200.
Oh, right, yeah.
It does make you wonder, like, what they would think of us now if they were here to see, like, how much both organizations have grown.
Well, it was a good start, even if it was a little conservative. It was a good start, and it stayed active for all this time.
So speaking of staying active.
Yeah, very active. So speaking of that, what do you have going on in the next few weeks at your library?
Okay, well, looking towards May, we are having another concert in the Annex. We have a group called Contravana, which is Irish Gaelic for contraband, which you can kind of guess. I wasn't just mispronouncing. And they also perform traditional Irish and Scottish music, and that's on May 9th at 7 o'clock. For the kids, we have on May 15th, hand-knit an octopus.
Oh.
So we're going to do, it's for beginners and experienced knitters, grades 4 through 8, and they're going to learn how to knit with their fingers and make an adorable plushy octopus that we have an example currently living on our Shakespeare bust. So if anyone wants to come in, that's why it's there. And we're also going to be making a promotional video for this year's summer reading program. So starting on May 6th, we need a few enthusiastic parents acting, but we do ask you to register because we're going to need parents' permission for you to be in the video.
Right, right. Well, that sounds exciting.
Yep. And then, of course, our book sales room is opening at the end of May on Labor Day weekend. So we hope everyone comes over. It's going to be on Saturday the 23rd from 10 to 1. But this is the first time we're doing our book sale room is in our annex, and normally it's just in one room, and that's where we have it. But we've gotten so many donations over the last couple of months that we're going to be expanding it to our large room just for that day. And we're going to have some, like, last-chance items that, you know, we won't be having in the collection after today. We're going to be donating them to other organizations because we no longer, you know, need them. So if you really, you know, want to see what we have and make sure you get some, you know, exciting new donations that came in or something that, you know, there's going to be a lot of books that won't be here the following week. So you should come by and check them out.
We also have our book sale on Memorial Day weekend. We run it 3 days, so Saturday 10 to 2, Sunday 11 to 2, and then Monday 10 to 2 as well. Lots and lots of books. We fill up our community room and other parts of our library, just tons of books. And it's a very fun event. It's a lot of people show up, a lot of kids show up, you know, and just get to pick out, you know, dozens of books because they're, you know, they're inexpensive and they're fun, and it's, you know, it really is a nice way to sort of swap books around town. Yeah. And it raises some money for the library, which is also good.
And it's a nice way to, like, fill out your collection very affordably.
On Saturday, May 2nd at 5 o'clock, and people might know him because he teaches at, among other places, he teaches at the Housatonic Valley Regional High School. And we have a Lego club on May 29th at 5. And we have a jazz pianist program in conjunction with Music Mountain. And that's on Sunday the 17th at 3 p.m. at the town hall. So that's really about it. We do have an art class on Friday mornings. You know, we have our usual things, our kids dropping things. You have to go to the website, really, to see everything that we're doing.
Yeah, I was going to say, if we listed all the programs that we have for the month, that's all we'd be talking about. And then some.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut.